Chapter 30. The Blue and Orange Threads Converge. The squids sat silent. This would take some contemplation, at least a day or two. They felt much as Sophie had when she discovered that her interest in the squids' religion and language had blinded her to the fact that they had computers. Sometimes, when you're focused on one thing, you just completely, absolutely, totally miss something else. Based on these two incidents, this experience does not appear to be confined to any one culture, form, or galaxy. The squid Allaire had been so flummoxed by their sudden discovery that the broadcasts were coming from the alternate universe that they instantly entered a multi-day contemplation, with several vanishing completely under the clear blue waters of the squid pool. It was Techie Squid's fault. He had known about the alternate universe, the continuing broadcasts, and the impossibility, following the nanobot's intervention, that they could be coming from Dry Creek Gulch. He had simply failed to put the pieces together. Somewhat bored and depressed as he was, left alone on the ship with nobody but Mystery Squid for company, and Mystery Squid was not much company, a renewed and dedicated focus on the work at hand had seemed the best remedy. This work was well rewarded. Through the sophisticated functions of the ship's computers, Techie Squid had discovered the alternate universe, hitherto known only to Halleck and Sage. He had shared the basic facts about it with Kennedy and the crew. Nothing in the alternate universe seemed to be filled out in any detail except the Earth, but every other asteroid, moon, planet, system, and galaxy was duplicated there as well, ready for attention and study to add definition. He had actually begun writing a memo to his superiors, but had not gotten around to submitting it. It included a list of the most salient features of his discovery, which he considered interesting, but not urgent. In the alternate universe, A. There are no nanobots. B. Technology still works. C. The United States of America has been taken over by a crazy dictator. D. There are whole buildings full of people who do nothing but write and study words. There are hundreds of thousands of such people, maybe millions, whereas in Dry Creek Gulch, there are only 3. E. There are also millions, maybe billions, of small children. At this point, he was aware of the alternate universe as something that Halleck and Sage was writing and which had assumed a sort of quasi-reality. He knew, as did the rest of the Squid Allaire, that this reality had split off from the original at the moment of the nanobot's creation. But no one had realized until now that the alternate reality was the source of the broadcasts. This meant that, in contrast to the many self-contained and derivative systems with which the squid were familiar, its inhabitants had the ability to act, communicate, and affect others across realities. This was unprecedented and proved that the denizens of the alternate reality were at least as real as the inhabitants of Dry Creek Gulch. Techie Squid was one of the first to recover from the surprise of this additional discovery and at once set about completing his report. He left the original matter-of-fact tone unchanged, hoping a casual competence on his part would elicit a corresponding attitude from the rest of the Squid Allaire, helping to erase his mistake. But he added a concluding recommendation. Conclusion. The Dry Creek Gulch project should be dropped immediately, and all our attention focused on the Cave Wall project and the alternate universe. Since, as everyone knows, the most powerful and highly developed individuals in any group are the small children and the grammarians, there should be plenty of partners willing and able to help us save the two worlds, both True Earth and its mirror world, the alternate universe, with profoundly positive effects on both. He did a quick scan up and down the timeline, looking for problems and anomalies. But such was his excitement over the richness and significance of this new phase that he barely noticed the multiple recurrence of two ominous phrases, Mad Grammarians and Home for Delusional Grammarians. After weeks of doing nothing more exciting than trying to drown out You Gotta Put On Pants, which had stuck as an earworm in his head, he was in no condition to realize the threat these words implied.
"Let's have your reports, please," said Commander Kennedy, trying again a few days later.
It was time to get the plan back on track, as far as that was still appropriate. Having heard that at least one of the envoys had experienced some difficulties, he assumed an informal and consoling demeanor.
These junior squid, and even Four, would need reassurance in the face of the developing chaos. Lal Bei and Four stood at attention, then relaxed as he signaled at ease. Four spoke first.
"It went well, Commander. The horse is both intelligent and telepathic, and he seems like a reasonable being. I was able to update him on the situation quickly, and he has offered his help and even his friendship. I think he, too, was growing disillusioned with the humans."
"Excellent," said Kennedy. "And you?" Unfortunately, Lal Bei was unable to report a similar success. He cast his mind back to the meeting, then shared his memory telepathically with the waiting group. Cat and Squid stood silent, looking at each other. One was a marmalade tabby, about 2 feet long and weighing 12 pounds. The other stood 8 feet tall, shimmering deep blue shading to peacock green. Weight unguessable.
"Do we squid even have weight?" he wondered yet again.
And yet there seemed to be no difference in their actual sizes, in their significance as sentient beings. The cat was bigger than he looked. Neither moved. Garnet red eyes stared into peridot green ones, and the green ones stared back. Neither blinked. The squid broke the silence first, raising several tentacles in friendship.
"Hail, striped one! May your words be always luminous."
This was a polite and ceremonial greeting from a civilization that valued words above all. For words were the vessels of truth and divinity, the containers of light. The cat sat and looked, unmoving. Lal Bei wondered what this signified. He cleared his throat, untranslatable squid equivalent, and prepared to recite a poem, composing it on the spur of the moment, as was the custom. "Jagged Mars-fingered drainage, erudite in the extreme, wait! There is no cattle where the mines is building, and the radishes pound on apace." The cat's tail began to twitch. Taking this as encouragement, Lal Bei continued, feeling his inspiration build. "Forthright, forkright, builder of wingtips, who built this city on rock and roll? Who calibrates the calipers? Optometrist, I thyself. He sat back, flushed with the victory of successful creation. There was really nothing like it. Soundlessly, the cat turned and walked away. A brief silence followed this revelation. John Kennedy shook his head, considering.
"Well, I don't see how you can be blamed. It is a fine poem indeed. Perhaps the translation machine was malfunctioning, or perhaps these felines have a different poetic sensibility."
The squadron looked at each other in bafflement. Despite his youth, Lal Bei's poems had made him known throughout the homeworld, as famous as Halicon Sage. It was one of the reasons he had been sent on this far-flung mission. It was assumed that no sentient being could resist his spell.
"Time to change the tone," thought the commander, shifting direction abruptly. "Here are your assignments."
The squid-a-lair perked up. Other than arguing about language, there was nothing they enjoyed more than really getting down to work with an alien species, and the cross-dimensional aspects made it all the better.
"Four, you seem to have a talent for diplomacy. Please initiate contact with the orange one and see if you can have greater success than our brother here."
All the squadron, including the commander and Four, sent kindly glances and telepathic/energetic encouragement toward the embarrassed Lal Bei. They wanted him to understand that anyone can make a mistake, especially in these tricky situations, and that no one was blaming him.
"Mr. Chang, you and I will enter the alternate universe and contact the power groups there, the children under 5 and the grammarians. With their help, we should be able to overthrow the various dictators and institute a worldwide response to the ecological crisis. This effect should rebound in turn and improve conditions in Dry Gulch Canyon. I don't anticipate any difficulty in doing this. After all, there are billions of small children and grammarians in the alternate universe. All other individuals will surely quail at the combined powers of even a few of them."
Of course they would. Several squadron wondered why the commander felt the need to state something so obvious.
Mohammeds and Muhammad, he added, hastily correcting himself. You keep going on the cave wall project. You're doing fine work there. Sage is receptive and becoming ever more committed to the side of good throughout the multiverse. His intentions and heart have always been good, of course, but he has been what the Earthers called chaotic good in some of their games. Perhaps under our influence, he may become a bit more disciplined.
It may be of passing interest that a small group of wandering Chalidians caught the last part of this summation. They had been monitoring the situation on Earth for quite some time.
Halleck and Sage disciplined, they chortled, clacking their great green claws in pure enjoyment.
They couldn't wait to share the hilarity of this assumption and its probable consequences with the lava cone back home. Truly, the squadron, in their earnest efforts to save the multiverse, were unequaled for unintentional comedy. Perhaps something of their mirth penetrated the consciousness of Commander Kennedy, who had been chosen partly for his extraordinary sensitivity to thought waves and cross-currents in the space-time continuum.
Or, wait a moment, he corrected. Mohammeds, why don't you come with us for the time being? Sage seems to be doing well on his own. We'll take the short route through the cave wall into the alternate universe. Our goal is to contact our natural allies, the Grammarians and small children, as quickly as possible. All of them, if we can.
Techie Squid wondered why Kennedy had thought it necessary to mention natural allies. The importance of Grammarians and small children was surely known to every wriggling squidlet. But perhaps, he thought, the commander is preserving the record, to be understood by non-squidron who may someday read his words. Suddenly, and most unexpectedly, there came a disturbance. Kennedy heard shouting and scuffling, and immediately the room was filled with sentient beings at approximately the human level. A tall man, apparently the leader, approached a random squid. He seemed highly agitated.
What exactly is going on here? What did you people do? Do you know that you've split the universe in half and created another one? And who in the name of God is Halleck and Sage?